Improvised thoughts, music, and talk about music with your host, B.G. Adair.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is B.G. Adair with Improvised Thoughts, and tonight I have a special guest that means a great deal to me personally, and also I think the radio audience is going to be knocked out by this too, because this woman is really coming into her own, not just for us singers, but for everybody. My guest this evening is Carol Sloan. Hi, Carol.
Thank you, BG. What a lovely introduction. Nice thing to say now that I know that we are colleagues, truly.
You're one of those people, I don't know if there's a delicate or diplomatic way to say this or not, but there are singers, and then there are famous singers. Mm. People like you and Sue Rainey come to mind, and Jenny Smith on the West Coast. People that are very well known for many years to musicians and singers, but maybe not so much to the general public. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it looks like since you got on the Concord label, we're hearing about Carol Sloan a lot, and it seems like it's time.
Thank you. A lot of that has to do with the fact that Concord itself has been a good vital source of products for me, obviously. Although I did a couple of albums for Contemporary just before I went on Concord, then I liked too. Also one that has Phil Woods on it, as we have on the new one.
Mm-hmm.
But Concord, at least, is turning this stuff out one album a year, which is probably good,
mm-hmm.
perhaps not to do more than one a year. They have an enormous catalog, as you know,
mm-hmm.
but they have now beginning to get a much more active marketing PR established desk out there in California, which they didn't have before. A lot of us were complaining that there was not sufficient banging of the drums, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have have an enormous network, distribution network worldwide now, and it grows. But you can't very well expect to just to put an album out and get it on the shelves is not enough. Particularly now too, since public radio is our main source of exposure, if you will.
Right.
A lot of the radio stations, as you know, around the country have dropped. Even FM stations have simply dropped music altogether, no matter what it was,
mm-hmm.
in favor of talk radio. If I hear anybody talk anymore about OJ, I'm going to just die.
I know. We're all sort of sick of it down here, too. And talk radio in general, I'm kind of sick of. Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm glad to know that you feel that it's coming on a regular basis, and that what is coming out is something that you like. I'm pleased about a lot of things. For one thing, I've got this wonderful, brilliant young pianist, Bill Charlotte, who's on this album, and is going to have another one coming pretty soon with Michael Moore. They did as part of the duet series at Maybach Recital Hall.
Oh, wow.
There's one coming.
What a wonderful combination.
Yeah. And I was happy to get Phil Woods on this album again. As you know, he's a giant. I mean, I think he's truly one of the great, great living jazz musicians. And the other guys, Michael Moore and Ron Vincent,
mm-hmm.
are with me all the time, as often as I can get them. And so I think particularly this album about Carmen was really close to me because we were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to try, I'm not trying to sing like her. And furthermore, I chose songs that come from the period, a young period in her career, the
mm-hmm.
early times of her career. The sort of grit and salt and sand that got into her voice and her whole rather salty approach to some songs. It was never part of me, but I enjoyed it just as much as everybody else did when I go to hear her sing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's the reason that we did this one, is because she meant so much to me. As I was growing up, she was one of the singers that I listened to. It was like, well, the first time I heard it was like being hit over the head with a 2x4.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I'd heard everybody else, and I thought, my goodness, this really is it. And I knew instantly, just as you did, that you hear it and you said, this is what I have to try to emulate the rest of my life if I'm going to do this. And she knew that when we finally met. I'd been going around saying it for so long, so she knew that I was trying to not copy her, but that I was trying to get that approach to a song
that respect for the lyric and the musicianship.
And I think that of all the singers that I really admire, she was the one I admired most, but she could do that. You can't tell me that listening to Carmen McRae, even on a recording, which is unusual. Some people think, well, if you get on a record, you really ought to go and see that person. It's much more impact seeing them in person. With Carmen, I think that was kind of the opposite. You could hear the same intensity in her interpretation of a lyric on a record that you could if you saw her in the nightclub, you saw that fantastic face and that chin lifted and those eyes. And sometimes you get the ray, you know, get the ray from the ray. But she could control an audience and she could control her material, and she was marvelous.
Yes, she was. And we should tell the audience, since I failed to do it, that the album we're talking about, your latest album on Concord, is called The Songs Carmen Sang.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to the first cut here.
Sure.
Gonna Lock My Heart and Throw Away the Key. And again, Bill Charlap is on piano, Michael Moore on bass, and Ron Vincent on drums. Here's Carol Sloan.
I'm gonna lock my heart and throw away the key, 'cause I'm wise to all those tricks you played on me. I'll turn my back on love and snub the moon above and seal my windows up with tinsel. The love bug can't get in. I'll park my romance right along the curb. Hang a sign up on my heart, do not disturb. And if I never fall in love again, it's soon enough for me. I'm gonna lock my heart and throw away the key. I'm gonna lock my heart and throw away the key. I'm wise to all those tricks you played on me. I turn my back on love and snub the moon above. Seal my windows up with tinsel. The love I can't get in, I'll park my romance right along the curb. Hang a sign upon my heart, do not disturb. Never fall in love again, soon enough for me. I will lock my heart and throw away the key.
Lock My Heart and Throw Away the Key also featured Phil Woods. We're talking to Carol Sloan tonight. You all have an association that goes back a ways.
Yes, I've known Phil for a number of years. I lived in New York starting in 1958, and Phil was, the recording industry, the jazz recording industry was thriving in New York, and Phil was on a lot of records being made in New York at that time. Also, the Tonight Show and the Merv Griffin Show were coming out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they each had their own bands. I mean, Skitch Henderson was leading a band for Johnny Carson, and the band contained Clark Terry and Doc Severinsen. They were both in the trumpet section. Tommy Newsom, who's still with the band, I believe, and a lot of great players who worked in the New York area. Bob Brookmeyer was in Merv Griffin's band. And so was Jim Hall and Richie Kamuka. A lot of great players.
Wow, there's a name I hadn't thought of in a long time.
Oh, yeah, and don't forget Richie. He's got some good records that are still available. Should play some of them now and again. Just remind folks that he was there. So the music scene in New York was very active, and I got friendly with a lot of musicians, naturally. It seemed to be the natural thing to do. And I was frequently invited to go to different record dates, and Phil was always there. And, you know, he certainly got to know who I was by sight and found out I was a singer, so it began there. And so, yes, I have to go back a long way. And also, you know, he's a Springfield, Massachusetts native. He's a New Englander as well. So he, you know, the first time I heard him, there's another case of really having your head snap back and say, well, this really is amazingly wonderful, and I must find out more. I will be in hot pursuit of this individual.
He really did. I remember the first time I heard Phil was probably the summer of 59 when I went to graduate school.
Uh-huh.
And I remember thinking, this doesn't sound like any saxophone player I've ever heard before.
He plays loud, for one thing.
Yeah.
He plays really loud. He is enormously. That's why he doesn't like to use PA systems in his concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame him for that. I mean, if I could get away without having to have a microphone, I think I'd be exactly what Phil. Because it's so frustrating to go and do a sound check and get someplace to do that sort of thing. Everything seems to be all right, and you get to the thing that night, and it's all completely upside down and quite distracting. And so, yeah, he's right about that, you know. And then it was so funny. It's a joke with us now. About a year after Bill Charlap and I connected, Bill called me one day and said, Phil Woods wants me to join his band, and I'm going to go with him. And I was like, I think this is a great opportunity for you, Bill, and I'm really happy about that. So Bill... we did it. We opened for Ray Charles at Newport this year in August, and we got on the stage for the sound check. And the first thing Bill Charlap says to the sound people is, "I don't need this monitor over here. I don't need to have any sound at all." I said, "Bill, you've only been with Phil Woods for goodness sake for 6 months, and here you are telling us you don't need any sound. Wait a minute." I said to this guy, "Now don't unplug that monitor until we've had a little bit more sound check here."
Right.
Sure enough, Bill was saying, "Could I have just a little bit more in this monitor?" Very funny. So I had to get into Phil Woods when I saw him. We were all together in over Labor Day weekend at a big jazz festival weekend in Vail, Colorado, which is a beautiful big festival. It was wonderful. And Phil was there, and of course I had Bill. And Bill played for Phil and for me. He was a busy guy that weekend.
Yeah. I want to go to a piece of music here, but I wanted to say something about Bill Charlap, and that is that I discovered him by accident. I guess, I don't know, several years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was in New York on business, which I do pretty often, and I was looking for music, of course, had the evening off, and I always, if I can't find anybody else, you know, that I specifically want to go and hear, I always just kind of head down below 14th Street and go to either the Knickerbocker or Bradley's or something.
Yeah.
So I just dropped into the Knickerbocker because I knew they always have really good duos, and I knew that it would be somebody I enjoyed, whoever it was.
Sure.
And it was Bill Charlap that night, and I had not heard of him. And he just killed me. I'm sitting there trying to eat my salmon, you know.
Well, how long ago was that?
Oh, gosh. I would say 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago. You know,
okay, we'll figure that out. And he was 23 years old.
Yeah.
And probably just really getting onto the scene.
I remember he looked very, very young.
Well, he still looks very young.
And I can't remember who the bass player was. But he just killed me.
No, he's an amazing pianist. I mean,
he really is.
He really truly is. I think he's the next one to take over from Bill Evans, let's say.
Yeah.
And the whole that Bill, because he plays that kind of sensitive way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's although he can play all that bebop stuff, obviously he can, because Phil Woods would never have even considered asking him to take McNeely's place unless he knew that Bill could handle it. But he also has an enormous sensitivity to songs and playing for me. Now, that requires just the opposite of what Bill wants. And
absolutely.
I need to have a lot more space. And Bill is perfect. There's a pianist named Richard Rodney Bennett. He's also a composer living in New York. And Richard was after me for the longest time to connect with Bill Charlap. And I'd say, well, it sounds perfectly nice, but I understand he's very busy. And the only reason I did actually meet him was that one night in New York, I was working at Fat Tuesdays, and it was a bad snowstorm, and they just closed the room that night. And I was staying with Richard. He said, "Tonight you're going to meet Bill Charlap." And we went trudging through the snow to Bill's house, and we had a nice dinner, and then we started to work together, just singing some songs and playing the piano. So it began right there. Richard, as usual, knew exactly what I needed, and I will be forever grateful to him for putting us together. I'm nuts about that kid.
Well, it's a wonderful collaboration. Oh, and as you say, he is a particularly sensitive pianist for singers, and that is a real special thing. A lot of pianists just don't.
Well, they don't
connect in that way.
Don't blame him. It takes a certain kind of sublimation of character, and
sure.
Ego has to be sort of restrained. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're suddenly playing a really secondary role, and yet not. I mean, if you look at it properly, you're not doing that at all. It is an enhancement of what's happening, and I like musicians to feel as if I'm not the three guys playing for one singer. It's four people.
Four people, right,
yes.
Right.
It's a much, much more harmonious attitude, I think, and they treat me like a musician. And
well, that's because you are.
Well, thank you very much. I'm pleased to have anyone say that to me. I feel it's an honorable pursuit.
Well, it is. It's an honorable pursuit, as we said earlier before the tape was on. It's a heck of a way to make it paycheck, but it is a lot of fun.
I know.
Let's listen to If the Moon Turns Green. Tell me about this song, because as I said earlier before tape, I don't know why, but I wasn't familiar with it, and it just knocked me out. It's such a gorgeous tune.
It's a gorgeous song, and it's one of those rare, it's another one of the Billie Holiday songs. Carmen recorded it at least twice that I know of, and
mm-hmm.
the most effective rendition I know of hers was one where she did, as you know, when she would finish a set, and sometimes if she felt good, and she'd sit at the piano, dismiss
mm-hmm.
the guys, and sit at the piano and play and sing a song or two for the audience. And that particular night, she chose this one specifically as a tribute to Billie Holiday, and it's just one of those, another one of those inimitable renditions that will never be duplicated. It's the definitive version of the song, and it's just Carmen playing for herself at the piano. If the Moon Turns Green, from Billie Holiday to Carmen, to me, to you.
Just when I thought that fate was unkind and happiness never could be, I got a shock and I changed my mind. A miracle happened to me. If the moon turns green and shadows get up and walk around and clouds come tumbling to the ground, I would not be surprised, 'cause didn't you fall in love with me? If the stars turn blue and willows that weep begin to sing and winter changes into spring, I would not raise my eyes, 'cause didn't you fall in love with me? Now I thought I was foolish to think of romance with someone as charming as you. I thought I was hoping without any chance, but all my hopes came true. If the moon turns green and rivers begin to flow upstream, and this is all a crazy dream, because anything can happen if you can fall in love with me.
If the Moon Turns Green, we're listening to Carol Sloan with Bill Charlap on the piano, Michael Moore on bass, Ron Vincent on drums, and her new album on the Concord label, which incidentally also features special guest Phil Woods, is called Songs Carmen Sang. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Carol tonight from her home up east. Carol, the biography that we got, one of the things that I liked was during the Thanksgiving holidays, during the war, your mother would send your dad down to the down to Providence to the USO and have everybody come home to eat.
Yes.
And then the next paragraph, it says, another family member, however, her Uncle Joe, pianist and saxophone player who helped Sloan land her first professional gig. Mm-hmm. And when you were a kid, before Uncle Joe helped you land that gig, what did you, was your family pretty musical? You listened to music?
No, not really. Uncle Joe was the only one in the family, in a big family, too. My mother had 8 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
And so Uncle Joe, but he was the only one who had a professional career. I mean, he was playing in a band and everything. All the rest of the family could play things like ukulele, and they picked up. They would play piano by ear.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had great natural voices. I mean, you might say great, you know, voices that sound good, have depth and good intonation and pretty vibrato, kind of a natural sound. And it was, I guess, an inherited quality somewhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in the early years, before I was 14 and really started to sing for money, we comprised the church choir. Most of the church choir was made up of members of my family, aunts and uncles and a few cousins. And we sang in the choir. That was when I really started to developed my ear training. I didn't know I was doing it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't learn. I never did learn to read music, but I knew and sensed that my ear was developing because we had a very good teacher and the choir director. So that was how that started. And then I got interested in singing more with the kind of music in those days, as you know, was very definitely separated from popular music on AM radio.
Mm-hmm.
There was sometimes jazz and blues and rhythm and blues on FM radio, if you were lucky to have an FM receiver. And that was when that first came on, it was a big deal. Remember, the signal was suddenly clearer.
Right.
And so I started to hear that on FM stations, I had found a couple of guys that were playing. Whoa, I mean, I never heard these people on the other station that was playing pop singers. Rosemary Clooney, Frank Sinatra,
mm-hmm.
Tony Bennett, Kay Starr, Bing Bing. Over here, I got Sarah Vaughan, Arthur Prysock.
You
remember Arthur Prysock?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's wonderful. Joe Williams, Count Basie, Ellington, Jimmy Lunsford, Dinah Washington. And I began to realize that there was another world. I'd hear a white singer sing a song. I'd hear Sarah Vaughan sing the same song, and it was entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Vaughan's version made more sense to me. So I realized that I had to explore. Radio was a very important element here, and I think it was for a lot of us growing up in that period.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I mean, in Rhode Island, when I grew up, late at night, the signal from WNEW in New York was very loud and clear, and fortunately, there was a guy down there doing a jazz show at night called Al Jazzbo Collins.
Yeah.
Had a show that I was mesmerized by. The show, I used to listen quietly till I finally knew I had to go to sleep and I had to get up in the morning and go to school. But he alerted me, along with the two guys in Providence, to new names and new people, and Ben Webster and Oscar Peterson and Miles Davis, when the broadcasts were coming live from Birdland. Wow.
Mm.
I mean, this was great. And I heard Miles and Dizzy and thought, well, who are these people? Bud Powell. Wow, this is great. And the more I heard, the more fascinated I became, and the more I realized that the music made sense to me. I didn't know why, but it absolutely was clear to me that the particularly bebop was
mm-hmm.
something that was not a mystery. I found it interesting to try to decipher it in my brain, and separated and figure out what was going on and realize that after they played the first chorus, I could still hear the song in spite of the fact that somebody was improvising
right.
the piano. So I felt I had accomplished a great deal, and I was quite a snot when I was in high school because my friends liked Elvis Presley, and I was talking about Errol Garner.
You know, I had the same experience, and we wouldn't go in the student center in college because they were playing Bill Haley and the Comets, and I wanted to hear Jerry Mulligan.
There you are, you see? So, you know, you and I are really sisters under the skin. We had parallel lives here, it seems, and you understand the great excitement and fascination that you heard at a very early age and realizing that you wanted to continue to be a part of it if you could.
You know, I said to somebody one time when I was getting interviewed that because they asked me, you know, when did you start liking jazz or when did you start playing jazz? And I said, I always listened, like you said, to everybody from Sarah Vaughan to Rosemary Clooney to whatever. And then the first time I heard Chet Baker... I guess was the year I went to college, and I just thought,
that was your lightning zap, right?
That was it, and I just thought, this is the kind of music that I want to play. Little knowing, of course, that we were going to be in what they call a minority discipline, you know, and not make much money, but there's no getting away from that music. I think once it grabs you, it's got you.
I know it.
You know?
I agree. And I couldn't be happier, because now I count among my friends some of the names you've just mentioned.
Those people that you listen to, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big thrill, isn't it?
Well, that's the icing on the cake. I often felt when I would go to Newport festivals when they first began up here that if I could ever get backstage, I never really dreamed I could ever actually be on the stage, but I wanted to be back there and know those people. I wanted Oscar Peterson to know who I was, and I wanted to know him. I wanted to know more about him as a person. I wanted to be near, maybe this magic thing in quality, this talent, this ability to improvise might be something you could get just by talking to them. Of course, you can't, but, you know, was that clear path for me was to be a part of that music, and so I stuck out on it, you know. As you say, it's not... It doesn't give you three houses on the planet, although I don't think you need three houses on the planet. But
it gives you a lot of pleasure. And it's just sort of, a friend of mine said to me one time, you know, I don't play jazz because I want to. I play jazz because I have to.
No, I do it for the money myself.
And she writes comedy lines, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We're talking to Carol Sloan, and she has a wonderful new album out on Concord called Songs Carmen Sang, meaning Carmen McRae, of course. And we're going to do, this is a particular favorite of mine. It's just such a comfortable tune. I've got a lot of recordings of this by various people. And this, your recording is one of my favorites. We're going to listen to Just You, Just Me.
Just you, just me. Let's find a cozy spot and to cuddle and coo. Just us, just we. I've missed an awful lot, and my trouble is you. Oh, gee, what are your charms for? What are my arms for? Use your imagination, just you, just me. I'll tie and love is not around, wonderful you. Oh, 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 just you, just me. Let's find a cozy spot to cuddle and coo, just us. Just we. I've missed an awful lot, and my trouble is you. Oh, oh, gee, what are your charms for? What are my arms for? Use your imagination, just you, just me. I'll tie a love is not around you. Just you, just me. Just us, just we. Oh, gee, what are your charms for what? Just you, just me. Oh, yeah. Just you, just me. Let's find a cozy spot to cuddle and coo. Just us, just we. I have missed an awful lot. My trouble is you. Oh, gee, what are your charms for? What are my arms for? Use your imagination. Just you, just me. I'll tie the lover's knot. I will tie a lover's knot around a wonderful you.
Carol Sloan, from her new album, The Songs Carmen Sang. I keep wanting to put a that in there. The Songs Carmen Sang. And Carol is accompanied by Bill Charlap on piano, Michael Moore on bass, Ron Vincent on drums, and her special guest on this album is Phil Woods. Phil just brings something to every project. Mm-hmm. That there's a kind of energy there that nobody has but Phil.
Absolutely, I agree.
He's just a kind of an amazing character.
He is an amazing character, and he does bring this energy, and he brings a great focus. Phil is a serious man about his music, and yet he has a great sense of humor. I think most of the guys I admire in the business are very focused, but also have a terrific sense of humor. I'd rather be hanging around with musicians just about anybody, I think. They're just funny. And
I think so, too. Most of my friends are musicians.
Yeah.
My social life revolves around them.
No, they're great people. You know, it spreads to their lifestyle, their approach to other people, the way they live, their sense of morality, mm-hmm. their sense of justice. And with Carmen, she was part of that as well. She had the same feeling about injustices, and she had a great sense of humor, too, by the way.
Yes.
Which is the reason I put that thing at the end of the album. She had left me this message on my answering machine some years ago. And I just wanted people to hear her laughing. I wanted to hear her that, because she used to call me up and she'd say the darndest thing sometimes. And this was before she got a road manager. So she'd be out on the road and something would really go wrong. And I'd pick up the phone and just hear, "Girl, can I tell you about a dressing room that is located at least 8 miles from the stage? And these want me to get up and do this," and then she'd start, and I'd start laughing. Then she'd say, "Let me tell you about the hotel room." And then she'd tell me that the phone was on the other side of the room or the thing was over here. And by the time she got through, I'd be falling down laughing, and she'd start to laugh. But she'd start out really angry because she had no place to vent that steam, you see,
mm-hmm.
unless she called me up. So she called us one time, and I thought, well, this is so sweet. It is just the way I remember her, funny and salty and always loving a good laugh and able to laugh at herself a lot, too. But she had legitimate gripes on the road. A lot
sure.
of people, in a lot of places we've all been in where there isn't even a dressing room, never mind.
Where
6 miles away, it might not be one at all. So she had some genuine concerns. An artist needs to be able to withdraw a bit between sets so you can renew your energy and get ready to do your work.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit out where the audience can get at you, then someone wants to buy you a drink, someone wants to tell you about that record you did in 1942, and I still have a copy of that, and did you know I knew Hoo Hoo? And it becomes a drain on you because you're trying to keep up with their energy level. You shouldn't have to do that.
No, you really shouldn't.
It. Anyway, that's why that song, The Errand Girl for Rhythm, was a song that she sang on her Nat King Cole album.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrific song. I think a lot of people are doing it now, but I really do want to get that sound of her voice at the end of the thing. I think you're going to play it in a minute.
Yeah, we are. I wanted to comment that I never got to meet Carmen. I've been certainly a fan of hers for years and years, but I knew a lot of musicians that knew her.
Mm-hmm.
And she and you also shared, aside from the love of the jazz music and jazz singing, shared something that we were talking about earlier, and that is the fact that you are musicians and not just, quote, the girl singer, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know from hearing those guys talk, you know, they would sit on the train to Washington, you know, and play poker with Carmen, because mm-hmm. Carmen was one of the guys, because
Absolutely.
Carmen was a member of the band.
She certainly was.
And
the leader of the band, of her band.
Yeah. And I have the feeling that your musicians feel that way about you, too, because you are one of the musicians in the band.
Well, thank you. I want them to feel as if they're, and I think they always do. I mean, we feel very comfortable. Drummers have a tendency sometimes, if they don't know the singer,
mm-hmm.
to play with brushes, for example, or pull down their level of intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said, just do the opposite. I want you to play up, because
right.
it'd be a lot easier for me to take you down to a level if I feel it is too loud, than to try to keep waving at you all night on the bandstand trying to get you to come up to a certain level. Play as if you were playing for Phil Woods.
Right.
I have a microphone. And then if I feel it's overpowering or if it's a little bit too much, then I will pull you down a little gently. But it doesn't happen very often. And last time I worked with Bill out in Vail, Colorado, as I mentioned before, with a big festival. This was an incredible place. James Moody was there.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Flanagan, Bill Charlotte, Michael Moore, Jeff Hamilton,
mm.
Phil Woods, Slide Hampton,
Mercy,
Bobby Hutcherson, Scott Hamilton. It was Dave McKenna. It was an endless parade of people for a whole weekend. Music started at noontime and finished in time for a break for supper that started again about 8 and went to midnight. I was the only singer with that whole bunch. Had a good time. But Carmen had control of her musicians, too, and they respected her for that. She was the leader. She knew what she wanted, and she got it from the musicians, and they were pleased to play for her because she knew what they could give, and they wouldn't be with her unless they really could measure up. And that was a compliment in itself, just to be asked to play for her.
Sure.
So the guys...
Because she was a piano player, too.
Yes, she was.
And she was a good one.
She was. So was Sarah. You know, Sarah
yeah.
was a very good player.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish we'd heard her play once in a while. But Jimmy Rolls told me she was a wonderful player. She was a better player than Carmen, actually.
No kidding.
Mm. Interesting, isn't it?
That is interesting.
She never, you know, let us see that.
Yeah. You mentioned Jimmy Rolls, and I was going to ask you, you had a long association with him,
mm-hmm.
and he is known as a pianist for singers,
mm-hmm.
and has played with some very formidable
mm-hmm.
people, notably Carmen and Peggy Lee and people like that.
Billie Holiday, yeah.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten he played with Billie Holiday as
yeah.
well. He, you talk about the use of space.
Yeah, that's him. He's the champ at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. And you see, I think Bill Charlotte is a great admirer of Jimmy's.
Mm-hmm.
And so he understands that. That's what he brings to me when we work together,
mm-hmm.
what he learned from Jimmy. I learned space from Carmen and from Shirley Horn.
Yeah.
Course. Shirley's the master of
it,
too.
Is she ever.
I know. And, you know, it's a very effective tool, really, because if you do it really right, then audience is just waiting for you to sing that next phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And it always happens with Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
So the space thing is really important. That's what Jimmy taught me, and I think he taught a lot of others.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a new record out with a couple of them. One's of his own.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got it on Cocopelli? Lilac Time?
Yes, we did. As a matter of fact, he was on the show, I guess about 6 months ago.
Oh,
maybe,
good.
A little longer, and we played selections from Lilac Time. It's a wonderful record.
Good. Yes.
He's a sweet guy.
Yes, he is. He's a doll.
He's a darling guy. We had a good time with him.
Yes.
And I was in awe, of course, because Jimmy Rolls is like the piano player's piano player, piano
yes,
player. You know,
he is.
He's just sort
amazing.
Of the
I
grandfather
know.
For us. Wow. We're talking tonight to Carol Sloan, a wonderful, wonderful singer, a real musician singer. Her new album out on the Concord label is, and I wanted to say about the Concord label, I was speaking to Greg earlier before we called you. One of the things I love about Concord's records, and especially about this one, is the way it's recorded and the
mm-hmm.
the care with which it's mastered.
Uh-huh.
The drums, the teeniest little cymbal
mm-hmm.
you can hear. Everything sounds the way it's supposed to. The piano's perfectly in tune.
Mm-hmm.
The balance is great.
Mm-hmm.
they always make really technically wonderful records.
Oh, yes, they do.
And that's so important because you hear a lot of really good jazz records and the technology is not quite there.
I know.
You hear out-of-tune pianos, you hear the drums too loud, or you don't
Well,
hear
Bill
the
wouldn't allow that. I mean, he insisted on this particular tuner being there. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things about Concord. And maybe some other labels don't do it. I don't know, but I think they probably do now, that the tuner stays on premises throughout the record in case something goes wrong. And there was a good instrument in the same one he used on the previous album.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pleased as anything that you like the mix on this because I mixed this with the engineer back to New York to do it.
It's wonderful. It's exactly the way this kind of album should sound.
Oh, good. I'm so pleased that you like it.
Lovely.
Thank you so much.
Really is.
Thank you.
So we're going to go. Let's let you set this up. We're gonna have to say goodnight to you, but we're going to hear a tune called I'm an Errand Girl for Rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're talking to Carol Sloan. And her new album on the Concord label is called The Songs Carmen Sang. And Carol's going to set this up for this is a Nat Cole song.
This is the Nat King Cole song. And as I said, at the very end of this, you will hear Carmen's laughter occurring at just the moment I think most people would react in a nightclub. If this was the last song of the set, and sometimes it actually is for me, then you'd hear the laughter right then. And Carmen's wonderful message. On this, she refers to a tape I sent her some years ago. I did an album with Tommy Flanagan. And it's an all Gershwin album on CBS Sony now. And Tommy taught me the verses to all these songs the night before the record date. So Carmen says, well, you certainly went to verse heaven on that album. she says, but I love it anyway, or whatever she says. And then you hear it, she says that, and then she says, I love you, goodbye. And I still can't listen to that, too. I mean, it always tears me up a bit.
Oh, sure.
You know, it'll be 1 year next month. I can't believe it's 1 year since she's back.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's why that's on there, and I'm pleased that her voice is part of this record, and I thank you very much for the chat. It's been a lot of fun.
We've had a good time with you, and
thank you.
I'm going to look forward to seeing you one of these days in person, because as I said before, you've been you're a singer, and you've certainly been an inspiration to singers everywhere on how to do it, how to get it done right.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate that, really I do.
This is B.G. Adair with Improvised Thoughts, and we're going to say goodnight to Carol Sloan, and we're going to go out with I'm an Errand Girl for Rhythm.
Here's something that I'd like to bring to you, wrapped all in cellophane design for you. I tell you what it's all about. It is without a doubt swinging in the latest style. Service with a smile. If you want to swing and shout, kick your heels and get about. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. Send me, just get hip and follow through, and I'll deliver straight to you. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. You've got to send me. You can always find me down at Smokey Joe's. That's where all the smart and the swinging people go. If you want variety, just step up and call for me. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. You have got to send me. If you want to jump and shout, kick your heels and get about. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. Send me. Just get hip and follow through. I will deliver straight to you. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. And you got to send me. You can always find me down at Smoke. Joe's. That's where all the smart and the swinging people go. And if you want variety, just step up and come follow me. Errand girl for rhythm, you gotta send me. Thank you. want to swing and shout. Kick up your heels and get about and every breath of rhythm send me. Just get hip and follow through and I will deliver straight to you. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. You gotta send me. You can always find me down at Smokey Joe's. That's where all the smart and swinging people go. If you want variety, just step up and call for me. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. An errand girl for rhythm.
I just called to say I listened to your tape and it was just marvelous. I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. I must say that you went to first heaven on that tape, but it was really nice. I enjoyed it, Carol. You sure sound good. I love it. Bye.
Revised Thoughts is a production of WMOT-FM, the public broadcasting service of the College of Mass Communications at Middle Tennessee State University. But we will always be called the folks who live on the sort of view that seems to want to be seen. And when the kids grow up and leave us, we'll sit and look at that same Darby and Joan, who used to be Jack and Jill, the folks who like to be called.
for folks who live on the what they have.